In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority.
Amen.
Who touched me? Jesus' urgent question was so absurd. The disciples there journeying with him were startled how Jesus could be asking this question. Jesus' popularity had been growing immensely, escalating throughout Mark's gospel to this point. The crowds of poor people, the diseased and broken people of the world who were oppressed, had been flocking to him in mass numbers, following Jesus wherever he went. And as he journeys in this moment, there are literally crowds of people pressing around him at every side. And he asks the question, "Who touched me?" Absurd. Everyone's touching you, Jesus. Everybody. What do you mean, who touched you? But the absurdity of the question even is deeper than that, because Jesus wasn't just strolling through the countryside. Jesus was on an urgent mission. As we heard in our text, Jesus had been propositioned by one of the literally most powerful and wealthy people in his entire society, the leader of a synagogue. This man would have carried the respect of literally everybody. He was in charge of a particular assembly of Jesus' own people. This man had approached Jesus with respect and honor. He came to Jesus and bowed before him and begged repeatedly, "Jesus, my daughter is dying. Come with me quickly. Save her." Jesus had honored this request and was journeying with this man, Jairus, to save his daughter. And in the midst of this urgent mission, Jesus stops in the middle of a crowd pressing around him and says, "Who touched me?" Absurd, Jesus. You're on a mission. You've got a place to be. That powerful man's daughter is dying. Who cares who touched you? Go, go. But Jesus cared. He cared who touched him. He had felt the power come out of him. Somebody had touched him in faith, with trust in God's power. And so Jesus was determined to find out who this was. So as Jesus is delaying his urgent mission, and a little girl is dying as Jesus does this, he continues to search. Who touched me? I want to know. I want to talk to this person. Eventually, this woman comes forward and presents herself. And from the text, it looks like she spills out her whole life story to Jesus. He gives her the stage, and she spills it all. She tells of how she has been struggling with hemorrhaging, with bleeding, for 12 years. This bleeding for this woman in her society would have been the kind that would have made her infertile. This would be, in some ways, the greatest dishonor that she could face in her world. A woman who could not have a family, who could not bear children for a man, was in so many ways considered to be worthless. Cast aside. Nobody would want to be with a woman like this. She can't give anybody a family. And so she has been struggling alone and isolated for 12 years with this hemorrhaging. And she tells Jesus she wanted it fixed. So she went to the doctors in her world, the doctors and physicians, and begged them, "Help me. Make me better. I'll give you everything I have." And she spent every last dime on the doctors, begging them to heal her. But these doctors were powerless. Not only did they not help her, she tells Jesus, "They made my condition even worse. I'm potentially dying here." Slowly. This woman then tells Jesus that she had heard of him, and she knew that if she could only get to him and just touch him, she knew the power of God would work through him. She did not approach him like Jairus with respect and honor. She was an unclean woman, unclean because of her bleeding, and she sneaks up on this man of good standing in society and touches this man without telling anybody from behind. And she grabs him. And she knew in that instant, in touching Jesus, everything was fixed. Hearing this story, Jesus then tells this woman, and he calls her beautifully, daughter. Daughter, your faith, your trust has saved you. Go. You are liberated. You are freed from your oppression, from your affliction. So as Jesus is blessing this woman and sending her off, and he's been dallying, listening to her story, the moments, the minutes, maybe the hours, who knows, have been ticking by. While Jesus is saying his goodbyes to this woman, a servant from Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, one of the most powerful, important people in the world, comes up to Jairus and says, "Hey, man, your daughter, she died. There's no reason to bother this teacher anymore. It was over. Jesus had been too late. He'd gotten sidetracked. He forgot the mission that he was on. This girl was dead." Jesus, overhearing this, interrupts and speaks to Jairus, the man who was wanting to save his daughter, and looked him in the eye and said, "Do not fear. Only trust. Trust. The same thing that had just rescued this other daughter. This daughter who was a nobody in the world. This trust had saved her." He tells Jairus, "Learn a lesson from this woman. Don't fear. Trust." So Jesus goes with Jairus to the house. He gets there and the commotion is crazy. The family, the neighbors are all there weeping and wailing. This 12-year-old daughter is dead. Jesus asks the people, "Why are you weeping? She isn't dead. She's only sleeping." Really? They laugh at Jesus. Yeah, right. Jesus, if we know anything about our world, when people die, that's it. We stick them in the ground, and we never hear from them again. We know what death is, and we know, Jesus, that it's final. Sleeping? You think we're idiots? Jesus then throws all of them out, except for the mother and the father, and takes Peter, James, and John and goes into the little girl. And there, this girl, dead, beyond help, broken, everything lost according to the world's eyes, Jesus speaks to her. And his word goes beyond the grave. "Little girl, get up." And this dead girl listened. The word of Jesus went beyond the grave. A dead girl listened to the word of Jesus. Boom. Life. And he gave her back to her family. Two daughters in this story. Two daughters. The first daughter is this daughter of Jairus, the 12-year-old girl, 12 years old, right at the peak of her fertile life about to begin. She has everything. She's the daughter of a man of power and respect and honor and standing and wealth in his world. She is the daughter of privilege. But she's dying. Then we have the other daughter, the daughter who no one but Jesus would potentially claim. He alone calls her daughter. This woman would have been cast out of her society for her uncleanliness, for her infertility. She was the daughter of nothingness, the daughter of no privilege. And as Jesus encounters these two daughters, we find that he strangely, bizarrely gives priority to the daughter of no privilege, the daughter of nothingness. But he saves them both. Jesus is there to save the daughter of privilege and the daughter of no privilege, but he does it differently. The daughter of privilege, Jesus waits. He puts aside that mission in order to take care of the one of no privilege. In a strange, weird way, Jesus lets the daughter of privilege die, lets her lose everything, lets her come to nothing. And it's only when she's lost it all and when she is dead that Jesus steps into the situation and brings new life. The daughter of no privilege, the daughter of nothingness, Jesus saves her immediately, instantaneously. She has already lost everything. She had lost all of her privilege, all of her honor, all of her respect, all her power, all her wealth. She is nothing. And in that nothingness, she instantaneously comes to life. They both had to lose it all. They both, in a sense, died before they were healed. So what about us? What kind of daughter, what kind of son are we? Are we the daughter of privilege? That may need to die, lose everything before that healing rescue can come? Or are we the daughter, the son of no privilege that has already lost it all? And Jesus' touch instantaneously brings us to life. Jesus loves both these daughters immensely. Strangely, he lets the one die before he saves her. He lets her lose it all because he knows that's part of the true healing. Whose daughter, whose son are we? For Jesus, that's why trust is at the center of this story. Trust in the true Father. The nobody woman was the daughter of the Heavenly Father because she trusted. Trust is what Jairus needed to learn. Trust in God. When we trust in God and we rely on our Heavenly Father, we are his daughter. We are his son. God is here to save his daughters, his sons. Sometimes he lets us die. He lets us lose it all before that healing will come. So may we trust him as we walk forward in our own journeys, losing it, die, so that we may find the true life, the true freedom that Jesus offers us. Daughter, go. You have been freed from your oppression. Amen.